let it go and ask God to bless that person. I said, every time the devil reminds you about what that person did to you, I say, pray for him. Amen. I say, he'll stop reminding you. I say, hurt him. Hit him. Hit him where it hurt. Hit him hard. I mean, go after him with a vengeance. So I learned that through an experience I had where someone took advantage of me and really didn't deal honestly with me and CeCe and beat us out of some money. And I was going to get him back through the court system. You know, I wasn't going to fight him. I'd probably kill him if I did that. I'd be in jail. I'd have a real jail ministry. I wasn't that bad. But I was mad at him. Oh, I was mad, and that seed was working. Oh, that seed was working. That seed was working big time. Working! And then the Lord started ministering to me. He said, I want you to let it go. Drop the lawsuit. Drop it. He said, I'll make it up to you. The money he took from you. I'll make it up to you. I said, okay. I said, CeCe, I think the Lord wants us to just, let's just let it go. And I said, we're going to do it. And we agreed. I said, let's pray. Let's release him of this debt he owes. Let's release him from this lawsuit we got on him. And let's just let it go. And we did. And when we prayed, I saw a black cloud come off me.
Praise the Lord.
That root was gone. That seed was gone. And I said, that was a burden. I was carrying it, and I didn't even know it. Because if you had asked me, you burdened about anything? I don't know. I'm fine. Sometimes you got stuff on you. You don't even know that. But God knows that, and he'll give you an instruction to get rid of it.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KKAYT 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. KAYT 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Emmanuel, we worship you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father our God, we thank you now for the privilege of hearing your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will take the truth and open it up unto us, meet us right where we are, and then lift us to that place that you would have us to be, that we might do all the things that you have given charge unto us to do. So bless you even in advance for your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you. Reach down, grab your Bibles, and remain standing. St. Matthew's chapter 2. I would be remiss at this time of the year if I wouldn't talk about the Christ child story and all those events that surrounded his birth.
Matthew's chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east, to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. I just want to talk for a little while this morning, seeking Jesus for yourself. Seeking Jesus for yourself. I don't care what anybody tells you, my brothers and sisters, if you really want to see Jesus, you're going to have to seek Jesus for yourself. No matter what relationship mother has, grandmother has, father has, grandfather has, brother has, sister has, it will do nothing for you until you desire to seek him for yourself. Inclusive of the word seek is the word see. And you will never see him the way he desires you to see him unless you seek him. Because while he's yet everywhere, he is invisible to the eye that's not seeking him. And so many times we see all of the evidences of his not only creative powers but his sustaining power. We see all of the evidence of his presence and all that he has purposed, and yet it's still hard for many of us to focus in on him because we're not really seeking him. Many times, even in this time of the year when we celebrate the Christmas holiday, it's not really Jesus we're seeking, it's more gifts we're seeking. It's more good times, it's more fellowship and parties and things of that nature. It's more happy spirits, and I don't mean spiritual spirits. It's more things and decorations and coming togethers and all of it. But it's not really about Jesus for most folk. And so that's one of the reasons why, again, I've shared that statistics prove, psychologists have shown and studied that folk become more depressed at this time of the year because it's all about the wrong focus. It really don't matter if your focus is right if you don't get no gifts, because you've received the greatest gift of all if you have Jesus. It really doesn't matter if you don't have any parties or fellowship or be invited to any parties or fellowship. It really doesn't matter if you ain't got no friends to wish you greetings once again. It really doesn't matter about all of the stuff that we focus on and that causes us to be depressed. It really doesn't matter if you ain't got no loved one, but if you got one who loves you, that's all it really matters about. But if you're not seeking Jesus, then this can be one of the most depressing and most loneliest times of the year because the focus is wrong. Now let's look at the text right quickly, and I want you to see some things as I walk through it and the Holy Ghost point out for us just to help our understanding and illuminate it for some and just refresh others. The Bible says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Now, I want you to see some things because the world has gotten the picture wrong, and we've gone over this through the past. But the record says, and when you're not a student of the word and just a reader of the word, you can get all of this mixed up. It says Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but the story as it unfolds, and when the wise men finally see him, he's not still in Bethlehem. And I want you to know that the record is that they saw his star in the east and traveled to where he was. Now watch the story, because if you let the world tell the story, the star guided them to the manger. The story is that the star guided them to the place where he was in the manger, because there was no room in the inn. He was still in the stall, the feeding trough, if you will, of the animals and animals around him and all of that. This is not the reality of it. But see, somebody picked it up and they read it, but they didn't study it. And I want you to see the word, because it's making clear
the descriptive narrative of how this story began. Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. These were considered wise men. Now, I want to make something clear. These are not Christian men. These were wise men knowing that they were able to read stars, they were into divination, and they were able to interpret dreams and so forth. They were considered wise men by the world. And the very term itself, from the original word, means that these were men who literally had their hand in what would be known as magical arts. But even these men were looking for something. And I got news for you. If you're really looking for something, if you look hard enough and you look long enough, you'll find it. They were looking for something far beyond their own natural abilities. They were looking for a star, and they weren't looking for just an astronomical star. They were looking for one that shone brighter than any natural star that had ever shone before. It was something far greater that they were desiring to see, other than the natural things that they had delved in as their gifts and talents went. They were looking for someone that, again, all of these men from different areas and different arenas, but all from the eastern sector, came to Jerusalem because the star guided them there. Now notice here what the text says. It says, verse 2, saying, where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now it's very seldom is one born king. It very seldom, it's an unusual thing even in monarchy. It's not usually that way. He ascends to kingship from princehood, etc. But here he was born. It was noted. It had been prophesied. We want to see the boy child who was born King of the Jews. Listen at this. For we have seen not a star, but his star. This was such an unusual event that a star was placed up in heaven just for him. Now notice this now. When Jesus was born, and not until that time, did this star appear or was illuminated to the point where it got the attention of all of these wise men. Notice the Bible says, again, we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Now, Herod was king. Well, just going to show you, they wasn't willing to worship any king. They wanted to worship the king. And Herod is upset about it, but he's trying to play cool about it. Look at what the Bible says. When Herod, the king, had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now Herod is troubled for one reason, and all Jerusalem is troubled for another reason. Because if the king is troubled, then the subjects of the king become troubled, because if the king ain't right, ain't nothing right in the kingdom gonna be right. So they understood, if this king, who was not king of the Jews, but he was king over the Jews for this specific time in history, realized that the Jews had a real king. It was a divine king. It was a king who had been ordered by God and divinely appointed and dispensationally placed at this juncture in human history, so much so that if he came and showed up and Israel had a king over them, that was going to be a problem, because you can't have two kings ruling one kingdom at one time. So Herod is upset, because he said, now there's a problem, because there ain't going to be but one king in this kingdom, and I happen to like being king. Now he figured he had the advantage because he was already the incumbent king. And he had an opponent coming, but he figured he could get him out of the way, wipe him out of the way. But he cloaks it, he wraps it, he disguises it in a pretense to worship. You know, I've discovered you got some saints just like that. And you've got some folk who pretend to be like that, who come to church for all the wrong reasons. They come packaged in religious clothing. They have all of the religious verbiage. They know all of the right moves, and they've got all of it down, but the heart ain't really here to seek Jesus. You can see some folk in church, they're so busy writing letters, so busy shoo-shooing the other folk, so busy watching other people. Their eyes are on everybody and everything but Jesus. And you can always tell when they hadn't gotten anything out of the worship service because their lives have not changed. You can't meet the King and still remain the same. You can't get close to Jesus and still act like Jesus has not affected you. He's either going to draw you or he's going to drive you, but you never meet him and remain the same. The word says this, listen. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now he gathers together all of the religious family and community. He gathers together the scribes who know the law and know the prophecy and history and all of this. And he gets all of this together. He said, listen, I know of the prophecy. I know about this king that's born, king of the Jews. I want you to tell me, what does your history, your prophecy and all of this stuff says about where will he be born? Yeah. Now King is plotting this because he has ulterior motives. Look at what the Bible says. Verse 5, and they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Now look at God here again. God is taking the least, not the biggest, not the greatest, not what's considered the best. But he takes the least, and out of the least he brings the best. He's going to bring his son, the King of Kings, out of the lowliest place, Bethlehem, the least of the towns and the citizenships of his people, and he's going to elevate it by bringing his son through them. I've got news for you. Don't ever think that your existence here is so menial that God can't use you to do something great. There are some things God does, and he does it not through the great and the mighty, the talented and the gifted, but the humble who says, Lord, here am I. If you need somebody, use me. See, a whole lot of times we can't be used because we're in the way. We have an inflated ideology about our own self-worth, and God can't use many of us because we think it's us that again equips God for us to be used. But God just wants somebody to say, Lord, I'm just me, and if you need me, here am I. You can use me. And listen at this, because I want to say this to somebody. Just because you sit out in the pew don't mean that you are as not as important as other folk God has in front of the pew. See, you've got to take the word some places I can't get the word to. And he equips believers to be witnesses so that witnesses can go in places and get into areas and even covertly go into arenas where I would not be permitted to go to take the gospel. Listen at this. I want you to see this. The Bible says, again, verse 7, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. Now he was wise enough to realize that the men saw the star. Well, they saw the star when Jesus was born. The day Jesus was born, that star then appeared in the sky. They then from that time prepared to follow that star to the place where they would find Jesus. Now keep in mind now, the story unfolds. Jesus was only in Bethlehem for about 41 days. After they had gone through the ceremony and the religious and the lawful ceremonies of that he had to go through, and Mary and Joseph and so forth in terms of being clean and being set right, following the law, when they got through doing all of that and taking care of all of that business, they went on back to Nazareth. Now why would we think Jesus would be almost 2 years old still in the manger? The only reason they were there anyhow was to go back because a decree had been made and folk had to go back and be registered in their town of birth, etc. They went back so that so that Caesar would be able to get his taxes. It was all about a business arrangement. That's the reason they were there. He would have been born in Nazareth, but the scripture said he was going to be born in Bethlehem. So at that time, all of that stuff was manipulated and it was brought into manifestation so that the scripture might be fulfilled. He was born there. Mary was at that point of deliverance there. But again, Bethlehem being the place, again, that God had pre-described and prescribed for Jesus to be born, was a part of the prophecy. He was there because God's word said that's where he would be. But when he finished that, he then went on back home. Yeah. Now, I want you to see, Herod knows this. He wants to know, well, how long ago had you seen the star? Yeah. So he's inquiring about this now because he realizes this didn't happen yesterday. He also realizes that even if he were born in Bethlehem, chances are he was there on business registering, as he was ordered to do, his family rather, was ordered to do, so they knew, he knew they would not still be there. Look again at what the word says. So he's inquiring of the wise men who are seeking Jesus. Now he says, the Bible says, then Herod, when he privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child, and when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. Yeah. Now listen at this. Even the wise men had sense enough to know something seems somewhat fishy about this. Now listen at this now. Verse 9 says, when they had heard the king. And the word says, when they had heard the king. Now the Bible says, when they had heard the king. See, the king spoke some words, but they went beyond what they heard in the words and heard the motive behind the words. Do you know sometimes you can hear folk and still not hear them? When folks say some things and you miss it and you get what they've said and they know it, the impact of it hadn't hit you, they say, did you hear what I said? Yeah. You know, yeah, I heard what you said. You said such and such and such. It's like, no, you heard the words, but you didn't hear what I said. Because had you heard what I said behind the words, you would have gotten the meaning. They heard what he said behind the words. Because notice, the record is going to bear out that they would not fall for his trick. The Bible says again, verse 10, when they saw the star. Now the star again is still shining. Why is the star still shining? Because again, they're still seeking Jesus. Yeah. Now again, the Bible says, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now it almost appeared as, according to the narrative here, that when they got to Jerusalem and they had their little meeting with Herod, that the star stopped shining at Jerusalem so that they could stop and inquire about this Jesus. Now while the star then is no longer shining here, it's because there is an interlude here that interplays. This deal with Herod, etc. and so forth, was about history, about understanding what was going to happen here. When that business was finished, immediately the star started shining again. It didn't stop shining for just a few minutes, few hours or whatever. It obviously had to do with days of not being seen after it had guided them to that place. Now after they had taken care of the business and they resumed with their pursuit to find Jesus, the star started shining again so they could be led to where he really was. Listen at this, because I need you to understand this. Bible says, verse 11, and when they were come into the what? Not into the barn, into the house, not into the stable, but into the house, they saw the, not the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes. Are y'all listening? But they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. They worshiped him, unlike Herod, because he was a divine king. God so positioned even in the heavens a star that would lead them to the King of Kings. They worshiped him. Listen at this now, because this is an important point for you to understand. Before you think God wants what you have, God wants you to know who he is. And when you know who he is, you worship him for who he is, even for you praise him for what he's done. I'm trying to talk to some real worshipers here. If you really know the Lord, it's hard for you not to worship him, especially when you're in his presence. Now, I want you to see this. When they came into his presence, they knew it was him, and the Bible says they fell down, which again is the proper posture for pure worship. And they worshiped him. And look at what the Bible says. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts. Now, again, the word never says that there were three wise men, but they again assume that they were three wise men because of the three gifts. And even in the Eastern culture, it was improper for you to go in the presence of the king seeking his presence without bringing a gift to him. So if that were the case then, and these men had come to worship him, it is suggestive that the three gifts represented three wise men because they brought gifts to worship, and they were great gifts of great substance for that day. It was gold, it was frankincense, and it was myrrh. The Bible says, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Amen. Now let me say this to you. You got some folk who want you to go and see what's going on.
Yeah.
Who want you to bring them a report about how church was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who want you to come back and tell them how things are, and if the report is good enough, then they'll come and join you. They'll come and they'll be a part of the service or the worship or the experience. But I got news for you. Can't anybody report to you what God wants to do in you and for you and with you and through you unless you understand that if you want him, desire him, you've got to seek him for yourself. The reason why these men were able to find Jesus, no, they were not Christian men, but they were wise men, and their purpose was to find this King of Kings. They were divine in their aspiration to find Jesus Christ. They were divine in their force or their motive to find him. And I've got news for you. You can't ever be a Christian or righteous without Christ. So while they may not have been Christians before they met him, I can't honestly say they weren't Christians when they left him. Y'all don't hear me. They have the right relationship. Understand? They came there to worship him, and you've got some saints who claim they belong to him come to his house every Sunday and don't worship him. You got some saints come to his house every Sunday and don't give him gifts. You got some, y'all getting quiet on me here. You got some saints come to his house every Sunday and don't seek him. And I've got news for you, my brothers and sisters. If you don't seek him just because you're in his house, don't mean you'll see him. How many times have you had stuff right in your own house you were looking for and couldn't find? Come on, help me, somebody. Looking for and seeking are two different things. Because when you seek, there is an insatiable desire, an unquenchable desire to continue looking till you find what you're looking for. But when you're just looking for something, when you can't find it, you say, oh, I'll look for it later. And that's how some of you come to worship. You ain't really coming for Jesus. You coming to check out the scene. You coming to do your religious responsibility. Come to church. You know you got to be a good moral person. You come there. You want to be a part of some church, some worship. Might as well just come on here, you know. And so you go through all that. You had an invitation, so you got up and accepted an invitation because somebody just kept on bothering you about coming to church. But you ain't really come seeking the Lord. Because I've got news for you. If you come seeking the Lord, that will always be a word from the Lord. Now listen at this. And I don't care who he uses to speak the word to. If you come seeking the Lord. But now if you come seeking anything and anybody else but the Lord, you might not get what you're looking for. Ooh, y'all got quiet right there. Seeking the Lord will always transcend anything and anybody because God wants you to seek him per his word. Seek me while I may be. It ain't about seeking people. It's about seeking Jesus. And when you seek Jesus, listen at this. He will make sure you find him. When you seek Jesus, he will show up to the seeker. And listen at this. He, just when you feel like you can't find him, and just like you feel like you've been looking for a long time and you get weary, just at that point where he know you can't go another step further, he just shows up in front of you. When your seeking has pleased him. Now these men came seeking Jesus, not Herod. They weren't looking to worship a man.
Amen.
They weren't looking just to worship a king.
Yeah.
Because Herod would have served that purpose.
Yeah.
And the providences in which they lived and came from, that could have been done there. But they were looking for the one and the only King of Kings.
Yeah.
Now I want you to see something else. Because when you come seeking the Lord will take care of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now Herod wanted a report back from them. And whether they brought the word back in person or they sent the word, he just wanted to get a report of where Jesus was. But after they had seen the King of Kings, after they had worshiped him, after they had released for increase their blessings, they received